Greetings, friends and gentle listeners, and welcome to episode 41 of the Spicer Speaking Podcast, coming to you from sun-kissed Palm Desert, California, here in the heart of the golf and sporting bounty. That is the Coachella Valley. Some call it the Palm Springs area. That's fine. I'm your host, Chud Spicer, four-time award-winning writer, associate member of the Golf Writers Association of America, former ESPN radio co-host, 10.7 handicap. It's different. It's lower. It's better. Been shaving off some strokes of late, getting back out there in the now idyllic and pristine conditions here at Desert Golf as we graduate from what most deem, perhaps all, a very successful overseed season. One guest town this week, and it's a great one, my old pal Azucena Maldonado. She is the founder of the Latina Golfers Association. Call her AZ. She and I met on a media trip a few years back, maybe 3 years back. I think it was in Loreto, Mexico. We'll have to clarify that once we visit with AZ. She's done some amazing things with the SoCal-based Latina Golfers Association. And yeah, I specify that it is SoCal-based, but she's deservedly garnered national attention for her efforts, which are grassroots efforts. She's got a great backstory to her organization. You know, after we met in 2018, subsequently did an article, had a radio visit for ESPN, and at the time I think she had about 1,000, maybe 1,500 members for her calendar of clinics and meetings and seminars. Now she's got over 3,500 members. She's got national attention. She's got some national partnerships. And she's really grown the game. She's diversified the game. All the things that talk about on the Spicer Speaking Podcast, how we want golf's doors to be opened to all. We want it to be an opportunity for everybody, wherever you come from. She's done that. She's been spikes on the ground doing that for about 4 years now. Be excited to hear about her progress. Of course, that visit, this entire program, none of it would be possible without a trio of super sponsors, for which I give thanks. I should interject that I hope all of you had a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday. No show, of course, last week. I give thanks for these three sponsors, among many, many other things, of course. That list is going to start weekly, by the way, with Perform Better at PerformBetter.com. Speaking of that Thanksgiving, you know, I'm 46 now. Metabolism goes a little bit slower. Try to take care of myself. Try to stay in shape. Jumped on the scale the next day. Gained 3 pounds. Had two helpings, including some personalized pies that my mom made. One pecan, one pumpkin. You want to work off that weight for yourself? I know I kind of do. You go to Perform Better at PerformBetter.com. All your workout, fitness, seminar, functional training needs. It's the holiday season. They got a great holiday sale. You go to PerformBetter.com. They have 40% all matter of functional training gear. Desert Willow Golf Resort at DesertWillow.com. Get your tee times for the Mountain View and Firecliff courses, respectively. Firecliff back open, of course, for some time now from the overseed. Mountain View going to reopen. I should specify this because I think I said it was Christmas Day. It's actually December 26th, which is the day after Christmas Day. Although in years past, I have gone out there. Nice Jewish boy playing golf at Desert Willow on Christmas Day, although I think that was kind of a special deal. It's kind of a special occasion. So I'm not necessarily going to lobby you to go try to play there on Christmas Day. You might want to wait until December 26th. Although, again, Firecliff course open now. The Palm Desert Golf Academy, led by Paul Busey, on site. They're in full swing already. Signature golf schools, 2-day. 3-day. They've also got daily golf clinics. Those just take 50 minutes. You know, if you're looking to brush up on a specific part of your game. You just kind of want to bop in and out. You want an expert to take a look at, I don't know, what you're doing with your wedges, what you're doing with your sand game. Maybe you're struggling with your driver, something very specific. You can go to one of those one-day golf schools at Desert Willow. 50 minutes. Have an expert just take a little peek at you. You want to cut some strokes, shave a few swings. Again, as we enter the prime season here in the Coachella Valley, do that at DesertWillow.com. Internationally renowned golf photography from John and Janine Hennebry. Johnny back in the desert. Look forward to getting back on course with him soon. You should look forward to connecting with the Hennebrys as well at HENEBRYS.com. Their vast domestic and international portfolio of golf courses. And hey, as mentioned, again, holiday season. Looking for that perfect gift for the golfer in your life? Maybe you went to that course that you love, never got the perfect photo, went there with your pals, your spouse, whomever. Chances are you're going to find it at thehennebrys.com. One quick hitter, one quick note before we get into this week's essay and the opening image segment of the Spicer Speaking Podcast. The American Express, our annual PGA Tour event, just 50 days away. It's January 19th through the 23rd for 2022. You can get your tickets at theamexgolf.com. Bands announced. You might remember last year in the peak pandemic timeline, there were no bands. There were no fans. Well, now there's both. Although, if you want to be a fan, you do need to show proof of vaccination or have a negative COVID test within 72 hours. If you can do that and you go get some tickets, announced in recent days that after play on Friday the 21st, Maroon 5 will perform. That taking place at the PGA West Driving Range. And on Saturday, January 22nd, after play concludes, Brad Paisley will be your performer. And I should remind, and I will, up until that tournament hits, that you get in free to those concerts with purchase of a general admission ticket. Sun goes down, play concludes, watch golf, and you just stroll into the concert area. It's a super segue. It's been a great success here for our annual PGA Tour event. With that, dudes, let's move into this week's opening image. Again, before we visit with Azucena Maldonado of the Latina Golfers Association, the opening image brought to you by Hennebry Photography. www.thehennebrys.com. Internationally renowned golf photography from John and Janine Hennebry. We're going to talk about some golf. Well, let's first turn our attentions to the gridiron this week as we enter the home stretch of the NFL season, elongated though it may be by a game. Straying from the turf to, well, not necessarily the broadcast booth, but I suppose the broadcast realm. You know, I don't always watch Monday Night Football, but when I do, I, like undoubtedly many of you, have made the Manning cast my go-to viewing of choice. Debuted this year with brothers Peli and Peyton and Eli. I knew I was going to botch that. It's because I don't like Eli. The alternate Manning cast option to the traditional ESPN booth men has gained the once must-watch program status. It's probably its most notable attention since, like, Dennis Miller gave it a go in the pre-Twitter era of 2000 and 2001. Still drawing around 14 million viewers across its total televised reach, Monday Night Football has seen the Mannings now siphon about 2 million of said viewers per week after starting their alternate ESPN2 option with about 800,000 watchers in week one, all of which begs the question, why? Well, let us actually start with the two-word, possibly clumsy, inversely labeled query, not why. The Manning cast isn't drawing viewers and attention and ample buzz simply because it's new. There are plenty of media options which are new, that downright stink, and a lack of viewer, listener, clickership will reflect as much. The Manning cast isn't drawing viewers and attention and buzz simply because it's Peyton Manning. Hell, Helmet on or off that Moonhead, we've been watching him on our respective sets for a quarter century now. And of course, as a pitchman, he's in rare air. He's so good, so likable, so accessible that he's transferred from a noun into an adjective. He's the modern day jock advertising baton pass, which has run to the hands from Arnold Palmer to pre-killer OJ to Michael Jordan. The Manning cast isn't drawing viewers and attention and a lot of buzz simply because it's Eli Manning. Ugh. His petulance continues to color his aura, and his acceptable presence on the program has only risen his rank on the totem of unlikability, like a notch or two. The Manning cast isn't drawing viewers and attention simply because of a sibling rapport or shared fame. I mean, from the Bronte sisters to the Andrews sisters to the Wright brothers, the James gang, moving on up to the Coen brothers, the Olsen twins, and Venus and Serena. Yeah, we've seen that before too. Manning cast isn't drawing viewers and attention simply because these brothers know football. We can turn on that same ESPN channel or an alternate sporting network round the clock to hear former standout quarterbacks or otherwise have them predict, dissect, compliment, criticize play calling, coaching, decision making, formation breakdowns, crappy officiating, or armchair empathy. Manning cast isn't drawing viewers simply because they've assembled a diverse cache of terrific guests, from talk shows to talking heads to radio, podcasts, streaming, cable, video services, and beyond. We can go anywhere for great guests and to see many of these same personalities in alternate programs. The Manning cast, as I turn to the proverbial second half of this opining, it is, however, drawing viewers and attention and ample buzz as I see it, because of what it isn't. The program is wonderfully raw and clumsy and abating most, if not all, of the traditional historic broadcast techniques which yours truly and thousands before me have been taught and had ingrained for like a century. And by that, I don't mean, say, off-the-cuff language from a guest such as the compelling Marshawn Lynch. I mean, we've seen or heard and can see and hear swear words on a thousand other channels. But the crumminess of the sound quality, the overlapping voices and interviews, the awkward segues into segments and sloppy transitions into commercial breaks, it's the total inverse of everything I've ever been taught about broadcasting. And it works. It's like watching football with your pals, even if Eli is the guy you won't pass the chips to. To view the contrary to all this, just click down a channel to what now comes off as an incredibly stuffy vibe of the well-suited, well-spoken, tradition-rich TV schooling of ESPN's main broadcast crew, which now vibes bland and gray and kind of lame. And sure, that's in part a dramatic descent from the days of Cosell and Gifford, Michaels and Madden, but moreover, it's a reflection of a new age in media and an alternate culture of conduct. This may be the 20s, dudes, but it's the 2020s, not the 1920s, and for better or better, one need only go to a high-end restaurant on Tony El Paseo here in Palm Desert, CA, as I did for my gal's birthday in the not-too-distant past, and see dudes in flip-flops and t-shirts and even a few ball caps out for a night of high-end eating. These may be the dress-down days, and though that comes at the ire of some, we need only tune in to ESPN2. On a Monday night to grasp that a culture of the casual, from attire to speech to personal presentation, it has, for many, usurped the appetite, the desire, and the eyeballs for a night of formal dress. And with that, friends, let's get to this week's guest. All right, dudes, as preface, it's a one-guest town on this episode, episode 41 of the Spicer Speaking Podcast. It's a good thing that we got a great guest. I think she and I met back in 2018. We'll need to clarify and specify exactly where, although I think I kind of remember.
at that time.
Remember exactly where.
She's got a better memory.
Let's see if you remember.
I think I'm gonna throw it out there. Let me finish my introduction. This is like taking a lot of crafting and time. She is the founder of the growing, budding, burgeoning Latina Golfers Association, which has received not just national coverage, but national partnerships. I had opportunity to write about her and interview her shortly after we met about 3.5 years ago. My pleasure to revisit with Azucena Maldonado, again, of the Latina Golfers Association, which she founded back in 2008. With that lengthy intro, remind me specifically where we met.
Oh, man, I want to see if you remember, dude. I'm not going to give it to you. I want you to tell me.
I think it was Loreto, Mexico. Right. Was that right? Loreto?
Where?
Loreto, Mexico? Oh.
No, it wasn't. It was Mexico, and okay. You're very close. But you and I did not have the good fortune to be in Loreto together, which is one of my favorite places. That Don Santa Fe golf course, I love, love, love. But it wasn't that one.
It was a Quivira.
Yes.
Nice. That and 500. Quivira,
okay. And we played golf together. And we had so much fun.
We had a great trip. But I think I said Loreto because I went there subsequently, as did you, I think, as a trip with the Latina Golfers.
Yes.
Okay.
In fact, for 5 years, you know, before COVID, we took, that was our spot. You know, we went and did every year for 5 years, we did a retreat, spa golf retreat. I mean, tell me, you went in a spa, right? I mean, they're not paying me to do this, but my God, that's the best freaking spa I have ever been in anywhere in the world. It's just the most, and it overlooks the golf course, a Reese Jones golf course.
Yes.
Gorgeous. And the Sea of Cortez. So, and then unlimited golf is our package. It's unlimited golf, which you don't even have to drive. You just walk a few yards and you're on the golf course. Okay. So like that was our trip for 5 years because I went to one of those familiarization trips that fell in love with the place. And then we went ever since. So may get back there. We may get back there.
A couple of sides, if I may, before we kind of reorient listeners to a few of the things I want to ask you. But Reese Jones, a previous guest on the Spicer Speaking podcast. Ooh. And last week, or I guess the previous episode's guest, that was 2 weeks ago, the great Tony Deere, a fellow golf scribe, and he and I were on the trip in Loreto together. My impressions a little different. Love the golf course, obviously the setting of the Sea of Cortez.
We
all got food poisoning.
I remember.
Yeah.
I don't know how I knew that. I don't know how I knew that, but I knew you got food poisoning there. It was awful.
It's a media trip that lives in infamy. So I appreciate you balancing.
I got food poisoning there one time too.
You did too?
And I thought about you. I just said, oh my God, how is this possible?
Like your whole group did or just
no,
you?
I just me.
Okay.
And well, that was a private trip. I, you know, because I also went there on my own because I loved it so much.
Okay. that offered, and we could go on with yarns and stories like that, which is totally fine, totally cool in this format. But I want listeners, or in the case of those tuning into the YouTube channel to watch our feature interview this week with Azucena Maldonado. When we met in 2018, you were a decade into creating the Latina Golfers Association. Right. I know you've told this story before, and so we can just say it broadly, but there are some very specific and distinct and meaningful reasons why you started this organization back in 2008. Why don't you tell the listeners?
I will. Well, you know, back then, I've been golfing now 15 years. And I know in the golf world, that's like nothing. You know, people grow up playing golf their entire lives. I did not have that privilege. Oh, my God. I just don't even know. I'd be a pro player if I had.
You know. You probably would.
I know I would. I know I would. If I had grown up playing golf, but now I'm a way adult by the time I finally learned how to play golf. But I was just a recreational golfer. I knew nothing about the golf industry or golf really, other than I learned, I loved it. That's all I wanted to do. I just wanted to get my handicap down, 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 play as often as I could. That's the my little world. I had a foursome. I played with nobody. I knew nothing other than I loved it. I wanted to be there all the time. And then after about 3 years of playing, somebody invited me to play in a charity golf tournament. I said, okay. I didn't even know what it was. I mean, I'd never been. I didn't know. And I went and I was blown away. I thought, this is amazing. I was relatively new to LA. In fact, you know, I'd been in LA 3 years. Well, I've been in LA 1 month when I first learned how to play golf. So my entire existence in Los Angeles, Southern right. California, has been through golf. So I was relatively new, but I was meeting all these people at this tournament, at this charity tournament. Like, and my space is a Latino space. That's the world I work and live in. And I was meeting all these leaders and elected officials and corporate people. I was like, wow, yeah, they're all here. And yeah, okay. So then they started introducing me. I started meeting them. And then I play in a few more. And it was the same kind of people. I was like, oh my God. And then they started knowing me as a golfer and said, hey, Susanna, you know, we got a foursome, you know, we got a spot. You want to come play with us? And I was hanging out with all these people, new to relatively new to LA. And because of golf, it would have taken me probably years, you know, to be able to be on a first name basis with some of these individuals. You know, I would run into them at networking events, lunches, dinners, you know, in our community, and they would know who I was. They would know I'm, you know, right. the golf. Anyway, and that's, and I started noticing, however, almost immediately that, you know, it's a field of 100 men or more, and like 3 or 4, 5 maybe women in the entire field. And finally, I was just, not that I didn't have fun with that, but I was just like, whoa, where are the women? And then I thought, you know, my first thought, I got to tell you, Jed, was like, oh, that's true what they say. But at that point, I really didn't even know that women weren't playing golf. I mean, I was so naive about golf. And I thought, oh, you know, they don't want us here. These guys don't want us here. And that's why there aren't any women here. It really is a boys' club. All those stereotypes, you know, that you hear about golf. And I thought, oh my God, they're true. And I finally started asking them, hey, where are the women? And they were like, well, why don't you invite your friends to come? I was like, oh, shoot. I don't know any women that play golf. My little foursome was 3 guys and me. That was my world of golf. I was like, oh my God, I don't know any. But I started, you know, realizing and benefiting, you know, from the beautiful, you know, bonding experiences, the networking that happens, the friendships that happen. I say that golfers are like family. I mean, golfers are a international family. And you start becoming a part of that family. And that's a big benefit of the world of golf. And I just thought women are not being able to take advantage of this amazing, amazing business tool, networking tool. It just opens up your world. And so I, at that point, when I said, oh man, I don't know any, I said, oh my God, I got to get them here. So I just, you know, that's sort of my personality. I'm an advocate to a certain degree. And, I just sent an email out to my network of women friends.
Right.
And I just went to a golf course and I rented the banquet room, got hors d'oeuvres. There was not even a clinic, golf lesson, nothing, just hair, you know, let's get together. I had 94 women at the very first event. And it really was just sending emails out. That was it. They came and they were like, wow, 94 came with for just to come. And they were like, well, we want to learn how to play golf. We've always wanted to, but I don't know anything about it. I didn't grow up around it. You know, all of the things that I had experienced, only I never really had that interest like they had already an interest. So they were like, we want to just know how to do it. And then I just said, oh my God, well, that's the role that Latina Golfers is going to play, is a welcoming arm. It's a welcoming committee. It's a way for women to feel comfortable about coming into this space that is kind of an unknown space for them and for our community in general. And that's the role we played. You know, after that, it was just golf clinics. Then I said, yeah, that's not going to cut it. I need more than golf clinics. And we started doing golf lessons and golf outings, then events at golf courses. We do parties at golf courses. We do fashion shows. It's just a fun, it's to be a member of Latina Golfers is to have fun on the golf course. That's really what we're all about, to have people feel welcome, at ease, and just step into a friendly environment. And that's what we're all about.
And when you look at your website or your literature or the social media posts, you always see that the ladies are having fun. The ladies are smiling. It's a diverse group of ladies from an age perspective to be certain. You've done a lot of amazing things. And the way I see it, Azucena, is that it's twofold the way that I see it. Please feel free to correct me or to clarify or to certainly improve upon what I'm saying. From a cultural perspective, you've done something very important. And then as you witnessed it from, you used the word networking or a business perspective, you observed how, golf oftentimes, whether it be a charity tournament, a way to do business, a way to meet new people, a way to date, all those different avenues, all those different fairways of life, which golf can lead you down, you've made a lot of personal connections for people, whether it be in their own work world or whether it be in their individual world. I want to start with the cultural aspect first. I mean, I'm a believer that what we see on television, whether it be the PGA Tour or the LPGA Tour, it does have a trickle-down effect to what we often see on our local courses, whether it be SoCal or otherwise. Southern California, one of the largest Hispanic Latino populations in the country. And our country, by the way, is like 18-19% Hispanic or Latino, also about 13-14% Black or African American. But we don't see a lot of either necessarily on the PGA Tour or the LPGA Tour. There's some representation with both races and with those ethnicities, but not a lot. And to me, it's what we see that it trickles down, but in reality, from a grassroots level, it actually trickles up. You need to build it from the way up. And you've taken it upon yourself. When we talked back in 2018, you had like around 1,500 members. Now you've grown Latina Golfers into about 3,500 members, you told me recently, about 2,500 of which are in LA County.
Yes.
And you've broken down barriers, man. You've done an amazing job of bringing a culture into the game of golf. And people need to put the onus on themselves to take that responsibility. Someone needs to be a leader. Do you feel like you've done that culturally, like you saw that void of Latino women in golf, whether it be professionally or amateur or just your daily Muni course, and you've opened up those gates a bit?
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure that I knew that that was going to happen starting off. You know, I just knew it had to be done. I felt this need to do it. So I did it. It was a game that I learned to love. I loved it. And I wanted us to be in that space. But I don't think I had a clue that it would be what it is today. And it's just blossomed, you know, organically, exponentially, you know, where up. So yes, to all those things. Yes, we've done that. I'm so proud. I really am proud. And what touches me, Judd, is when, you know, like I said, we have 2,500 members just here in LA County alone. So these are women, as you said, all ages. They can be in, you know, 19 to literally 70 something is our oldest member, mostly in that mid age, you know, 20s to 40s or mid 40s. they come up to me all the time and they say, Azucena, if I didn't play golf, I wouldn't have been, you know, such and such a place. I wouldn't have met my CEO of the company, or I wouldn't have this, or I wouldn't have, I got a new client, or now I can take my clients to play golf. Or, I mean, there's all these amazing stories that they tell me on a weekly basis, you know, how golf has opened up their world, transformed their lives. And it just, it's what keeps me going, really. And then on all levels, you know, for fun, some are just loving it and playing golf with their families. Maybe their partners played golf, fathers played golf, but they didn't. I mean, that's a smaller percentage, but still. Sure. And now they're getting their kids to play, so they're playing as a family. So you have that aspect of it. And what has been neat is that you said there is a pipeline that has to be built. It doesn't just happen. We don't have the Lisette Salas's. She is our one and only U.S. Latina on the LPGA Tour. That doesn't just happen. So I'm so proud to say, I'm not sure we have played a direct role, but we support our girls that we see her in high school, or, you know, in college playing in their right. golf teams. We love to be a support system to them, to let them know we cheer them on. We, you know, let's do it. And, you know, so now I'm so proud to say there is that little pipeline. Maybe it's not as many as we'd love, but they are there. And so in the next 2-3 years, you're going to see a heck of a lot more U.S. Latinas playing on the LPGA Tour. I'm so proud that, you know, and then we do a lot of little junior, mostly we do adult women programming, but we do some junior, introduce golf to little girls. We love to do that.
I want to get to some of those youth efforts in a moment. Let me first reintroduce Azucena Maldonado. I call her AZ. She is the founder of the Latina Golfers Association. Again, check out their programs and their initiatives, partnerships, online at latinagolfers.com. Poignant partnership in the not too distant past, I don't think, with the PGA of America. You've received their formal support. I think it's the PGA, correct?
Yeah, the okay. PGA of America. Yeah. The PGA of America is my strategic partner. Yeah. And we're, you know, we've worked with them a little bit throughout the years, but this past year they said, we're in with you. So we got a sponsorship from them for, you know, so probably another 6-7 more months. So like 2021, 2022, and hopefully that's going to continue. But, you know, that's, to me, is a huge validation. They've Absolutely. Seen our work. They've seen what we've been doing on a grassroots level, and they support our efforts to grow the game of golf in our Latino community, especially with women. So I'm super, super proud of that.
Yeah, the world's largest professional sporting organization. I'm a believer in the PGA of America. AZ, I mean, I have some skepticism, again, when things come Right. from the top on down in the golf world, because in many ways, golf can be or still vibes an old white dude's game. PGA of America does have some impressive diversification. We've seen absolutely. And people that are on their board, obviously Susie Whaley was the past president. Very, very impressive woman. And she did a fine job. In your association with them, are they hands-on in working with you? Are they genuinely interested in this diversity? Okay.
Anything I need, you know, like if I have a question, okay, like, hey, you know what? I need to reach out to Texas or to Florida or to here or there. I just call them and go, okay, how do I get there? Who can you connect me with? Man, they connect me.
Really?
They make sure it happens. They want to make sure that we're online with all of their new initiatives. They make it easy for us to spread the word, to partner on some of those initiatives. They make themselves available to me. If I want to do a Zoom, some kind of webinar on any kind of issue or, I mean, topic, okay, can you be on? Can you be on? Who do you recommend? They're on it, you know? Okay. So there, it really is a partnership. I don't feel like I can't just pick up the phone or send an email and I'm not going to get a response in 24 hours. I mean, I do. It's a real, real partnership.
As far as another partnership, you and I reconnected last week or in recent weeks for an article I had the pleasure to write for the SCGA and their foundation, which you're a board member of the SCGA,
a new board member.
Awesome
Southern
to
California
see.
California Golf Association.
And you've put the rubber to the road already with a really compelling new initiative that, again, I had opportunity to interview you for and to write about with the SCGA, with the Latina golfers, and with the Weingart, I believe it's the Weingart YMCA
of East Los Angeles.
And so you created this autumn season program for junior Latina girls to just like you've done with the adults to get initiated into the golf world. You provided complimentary transportation, I believe, to the golf course from the YMCA.
Yes.
Just an awesome grassroots effort, AZ.
And what I love about it, Jed, is that it's not only the golf lessons, which are wonderful, and that golf course, the Don Canabi Golf Course, which is a Los Angeles County golf course, it's just perfect for junior golf and any golf learning golf facility. But what makes this program and programs that we like to do so special is that there's mentorship involved. It's not only teaching them how to play golf, but then we bring in our members who are golfers, but professional Latinas as well. And the girls get to see them, touch them, play with them, you know, get to ask them questions. And they ask some profound questions. And I'm like, wow, how did they think of that? Like, ask questions like, hey, are you like the only one in where you work that looks like you? How did it feel? I mean, they literally ask those questions. How did it feel to look like you and be the only one where you are? How do you work through that? Questions like that. And what we also like to do is talk to them about the range of jobs available in the golf industry. That's real important for us too. You don't only have to be a PGA or LPGA tour player. There's so many other things that are important in the golf industry, and you can do it. So we bring in those role models. We've had women Latinas from that work at Golf Now. Our guests this Sunday, because they're on Sundays, are going to be some Latinas that work at the PGA of America in Florida. So, you know, it's really, really, I love it because their world is expanding through golf. And that's a beautiful thing.
Spoiler alert for the article, unless it's been overly edited. I concluded it. I think I started it with you and then I concluded it with you. Classic Spicer tactic. We call it the cyclical move. I concluded it with what you told me about the I am session. And if you can repeat that for these purposes on this medium, that really struck me.
Oh, it's so sweet. It touched my heart too. I love it. So we do these, you know, one of the sessions was we went around the room with the girls and said, okay, let's say I am. What, you know, what are you today? I am powerful. I am smart. And then a couple of them, you know, said, I am a golfer. Oh my gosh. It's like, they see themselves as golfers now. So nobody can take that away from them. They are golfers, and we want them to know they're golfers and they belong on the golf course. And they need to blossom as golfers growing up. They're middle school, most of them.
Awesome story. And it impacts me. This go around is when you told it to me about 10 days ago. That's a cultural change that you've created. And I know that many of these girls, they're not yet young women. They're still junior girls. Without this program, that would not have been in their universe. They never would have thought that, or certainly would never have said that.
They wouldn't have had that opportunity, more than likely. to ever step foot on a golf course.
AZ, let's wrap it up with this. We are in the holiday season. Hope you had an awesome Thanksgiving. Hanukkah, although I ruined my menorah from a couple years ago. Too much wax, very waxy menorah, but we are still lighting candles. So it still counts. But then we've got the Christmas season coming up. Anything you want? Anything you're looking for? Any presents? You need a new 3-wood for Christmas? Yeah. Why do you not have a 3-wood currently?
I don't have it. Well, I have a 3-wood from a different set, and it's not really. It's too stiff for me. Okay. So I really need a 3-wood that's going to match my golf clubs. They're only a year old golf clubs that I got for Christmas last year. So they need to match that set. And
could you just get a new shaft in that existing 3-wood club?
No.
Okay.
I want a new 3-wood.
You want a new 3-wood.
To match my set. That's what I want. And of course I want to be able to play golf all throughout the holiday season, all the time, everywhere in places that I haven't been. I went to Goat Hill Golf Course.
Yeah. Very cool.
During the Thanksgiving. Loved it. And we need to save golf in California. We need to save municipal golf courses in California. So you're going to be hearing from me and others, just like they saved Goat Hill. We need to save municipal golf courses from the threat and the state legislature to try to build affordable housing. Not that we don't need affordable housing. We just don't need to do them on golf courses.
And that'd be AB 672. Talked about it on this program. Had the pleasure to write about it before. I know that the SCGA has been proactive and haven't heard their plans for the future. They're going to very much stick with that.
Please, everybody, respond when you see our emails. Sign that petition.
Those are coming out.
Press yes and send that email. It's critical because it'll start here and it'll go everywhere, So we just got to nip it in the bud again, because this is not the first time.
No.
She's tried to bring this up, and we just need to stop it.
All right. You really got your spikes in the turf with the SCGA already. Got the messaging down. Love to see it. Such a pleasure to see you. You talked about playing golf. You talked about playing golf for the holidays. I know that you're coming back to the desert at some point in the not too distant future. Let's be sure to reconnect in person. Yes. It's been too long since we've played. It'd be a pleasure to spend 3.5 hours that way, to be sure.
Love it. Thank you so much for inviting me to be on your show.
Appreciate it, AZ. And again, friends, you can check out Azucena Maldonado and the Latina Golfers Association online at latinagolfers.com. Happy holidays to you, AZ.
Thank you. Same to you.
All right, dudes. Thank you so much to Azucena. Again, if you want to find out more about the Latina Golfers Association and all the interesting, excellent, compelling, inclusive work that AZ and her cohorts are doing, you can check that out online at latinagolfers.com. So appreciative of your time, your interest, your ears as we enter the holiday season. Of course, none of this would be possible without my three super sponsors. Starts weekly with Perform Better, performbetter.com. Don't forget about their holiday sale occurring now, 40% off many, many, many items. Desert Willow Golf Resort, get your tee times online. Find more out about the instruction. The Palm Desert Golf Academy at desertwillow.com. TikTok to the reopening of the Mountain View course again, coming out of Overseed on December 26th. And internationally renowned golf photography from the sibling tandem of John and Janine Hennebry. Look, you're a golf course owner, operator, GM, head pro, head super. You need some new, fresh imagery of your course, either for your website or for your membership. Give the Hennebrys a call. Again, check them out, HennebrySS.com. Everybody have a great week out there. Appreciate the support. Be safe. and be well.